ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நிகமகல்பதருர்கலிதம் பாலம் சுகமூகதமிருத்ததிராவசம்யுதம் பிவாத பகவதம் ரசமலயம் முகுரகோரசிகபுவிபவுக்கஹ மூகம் கரோத்தி வச்சலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதி கிரிம் யத்கிருபாதமகம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதரணம் பரமானந்த மாதவம் தம் ஸ்ரீமத் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் யஸ்யானுகம்பயஸ்வாபி மஹப்தி சந்தரித் சுகம். Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 31, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas. We are almost at the end of the 4th canto. This is the last chapter and the last few verses. It is a series of instructions given by Sri Narada Muni to the Prachetas. It is a very important section. Text 21. Na bhajati kumanishinam saityam hariradhanatma dana priya rasakya ஸ்ருததனகுலகர்மணம் மதைர்யே விததாதி பாபம் மகிஞ்சனேஷு சத்சு. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Na, never, bhajati, accepts, kumanishinam, of persons with a dirty heart. Saha, he, ijam, offering, hari, the Supreme Lord, adana, to those who have no material possessions. Atmadana, simply dependent on the Lord. Priya, who is dear. Rasakya, who accepts the essence of life. Shruta, education. Dana, wealth. Kula, aristocracy. Karmanam, and of fruitive activities. Madai, by pride. Ye, all those who, vidadati, perform. Papam, disgrace. Akinchaneshu, without material possessions. Satsu, unto the devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and for its effectivity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often delight the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. If you like to repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often delight the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of his devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. Napajati kumani shinam saityam harir adanatma dana priyora sakya shruta dana kula karmanam madairye vidadati papam akinchaneshu satsu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things and they often delight the devotees. Even if such people suffer, even if such people, they also suffer, offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. So this is there are many points in this verse and purport, but mainly there are two points. At least two points I see. Maybe you are seeing others. So what points are you seeing in this verse? Okay, good. Good, so people who possess material things, and wealth was one of them, dana. What other material things were mentioned that make us become proud? Aristocracy, having a good birth. Material education, having learning, one may think, I know better than others, and therefore I think I am better than others because I have more information or I have more knowledge or so-called knowledge. What else? Aristocracy, wealth, education. I think there was one more. Fruitive activities, karma, being able to develop prosperity, material prosperity, material advancement. So this is one point, that by relying on these material things, taking shelter of them, we become affected by pride. And as the saying goes, pride comes before the fall. When we take ownership of that which is not ours, this is pride. We take ownership to that which actually belongs to God, belongs to Krishna. He is giving it to us to use in his service. When we take ownership of that, and we take so much ownership that we think we are better than others, and then we start offending them, and this is the second point, we start offending them, then this is the reason for the fall. Even we see, for example, in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he attained so much material success. He became very wealthy. He became very successful in fruitive activities. In one way, we could say he became learned. He was materially educated. He was sending his son, Prahlad Maharaj, to the school, the best school in his kingdom, run by Sanda and Amarka, the best teachers he had available. And they were teaching Prahlad many material skills, material knowledge. How to deal with people, the diplomacy, how to deal with friends, with enemies, what to do, what not to do. And so many different branches of knowledge were taught to Prahlad Maharaj, material knowledge. So Hiranyakashipu, certainly he was materially learned also. So he had all these things, Shruta, Dana, Kula. His Kula was the demon Kula, but he was proud of it. He was the king of the demons. the king of the demons and the demons, they had taken over the rule of the universe. So this made him even more proud. So he was able to maintain his position for a substantial for some time. We have heard that whenever Hiranyakashipu will, how you call it, the eyebrows, help me please, raise his eyebrows, then all the demigods will become very fearful. You can imagine what potency he had. And Srila Prabhupada explains that even Narada Muni, he had to play the game and was kind of respectful to, of course, devotees are respectful to everybody. So he had no problem in seeing Krishna's presence in Hiranyakashipu's heart. So he was offering respect to Hiranyakashipu also. So everything was going on until Hiranyakashipu transgressed the line. What was the line? He started to heavily offend a pure devotee of the Lord. And then the Lord, he couldn't help it. The Lord is more tolerant than anybody. But something happened and he became transformed into a lion. Because his pure devotee, who is his heart and soul, was being offended. Then the Lord immediately, no time, finished the demon. So this is a very important teaching. And another point mentioned at the end, it's an additional point to the principle of offending devotees, that even if we offer worship to the Lord, if we offend devotees, the Lord is not interested in such worship. He does not want that. He thinks, who is this guy? I mean, he comes, you come to offer me this, and you are stepping on my devotees? You nonsense, get out of here. The Lord becomes very upset. And it doesn't matter who he or she, that person is, who is offending. That person may have the greatest position in the universe, the greatest position in a community. The greatest position in the world. But the Lord will not accept such offering. Because he will say, it is contaminated. The description is given here about the Lord accepts the offerings of those whose heart is pure. Actually, it is in the other way around. He never accepts the offerings of persons with a dirty heart. Nabhajati kumanishinam. Manishinam are generally people who are advanced. Kumanishinam is the opposite, right? That will be kumanishinam. People who are not pure, who are not offering their heart for the service of the Lord. Saijyam, ijyam is the offering. So the Lord does not accept those offerings. And the proof, the evidence that the heart is impure is it becomes evident when we offend devotees. Therefore, we should pay attention. We shouldn't think this is only for those people who offer worship and they offend devotees. But we should look at what are we doing? Are we serving devotees properly? To what extent are we serving devotees? To what extent are we offending devotees? Offending devotees may be done with body, in action, by actively doing something to denigrate a devotee or to upset a devotee. May be performed with the words, by speaking something which is not austere. Austere means the austerity of the speech in Bhagavad Gita is described as speaking pleasantly and truthfully, according to Shastra. And particularly avoiding speaking in such a way as to offend others. Srila Prabhupada explains that, of course, when a teacher is instructing students, may speak directly. But that's not offensive, because that's the duty of a teacher. Or when a preacher is speaking, also, generally speaking, if a choice has to be made between pleasantries and speaking the truth, the preacher will have to speak the truth. But the truth, generally speaking, as much as possible, should be spoken as pleasantly as possible. But in aside from these situations where we have the duty to speak clearly the truth, we should be careful not to offend others. Even we find in the dealings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the ideal teacher, he is Mahaprabhu, the great teacher, the exemplary teacher. And when he was correcting people, even Mayavadis, Mayavadi Sri Krishna Aparadi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, they are offenders because they deny the transcendental form of Sri Krishna. They consider that the Lord has no eyes. How we can say that the lotus-eyed Lord has no eyes? That's an insult. So even in dealing with persons who were affected by such level of impurity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very respectful to them. When Keshava Kashmiri came with great pride, have you seen the film, how he comes? He comes like the film in Nadi, he comes very, it's very well represented, very proud. And he's talking very heavy, like you have nothing to say. You're just a student, I want to smash you. That's kind of the mood. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he receives him in a very respectful way. In the film is cut, I don't know why they cut the they cut it. Probably the devotees who did the, what you call, censure. Probably they saw there was something was not according to Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, and they changed it, or for some reason it was cut, or maybe it was too long, whatever it was. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was highly respectful with him. And after defeating him, and actually the Digvijay, the champion, he was the world champion among scholars. When he was defeated, he was totally bewildered, because he never had been ridiculed in such a way, and all by a child. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was 15 or 16 years old, maximum. So for him was a child. They're a teenager, but can you imagine being ridiculed by being defeated by a teenager in whatever you are most expert? And then a teenager does something that you feel like ridiculed. I said something the teenager knows better than me. And especially after feeling, or while feeling, so much pride about oneself. So all the Lord Chaitanya's students, this was done at the banks of the Ganges. And it was not too much people around. Some people were there because it is described how Keshava Kashmiri came with a procession. But it was not the official debate. So not everybody could fully see what was going on. People could be around, but they were not very close. Some people were close. So Lord Chaitanya's students, they started to laugh at the foolish pandit. Foolish because he was proud of something that didn't belong to him. But Lord Chaitanya, he told them, please do not laugh. Pandit is very tired. So please go, take rest, and tomorrow you can come back and we can talk about scripture. So the Lord was so sweet and so respectful. So he smashed his pride without breaking him. He knew that's the mercy of the Lord. He knows how much to press in order to smash the pride of someone without breaking that person. This is his mercy. Also, Lord Chaitanya did something similar with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was 24, 25 years old at the end of his 24th year, and he saw this sannyasi, he's so beautiful, so attractive, and so young. And he could be, by age, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grandfather. So he said, he kind of felt fatherly kind of feelings. I have the duty to teach him. Because he used to teach even sannyasis, he used to teach them Vedanta. He was a great professor of Vedanta. And then he saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing in Jagannath Puri as a sentimental. He thought, this is not proper. Such a young sannyasi, he's inexperienced. That's why he's doing that. He must have thought something like that. He's inexperienced. He's singing and dancing with these people not so educated. Singing in the streets, that's not proper. So he told him, please come. You are a young sannyasi and you are singing and dancing so much. I remind you that the duty of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. So I'm a Vedanta teacher. Many sannyasis come to study with me. Please come, I'll teach you. Please join my college. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya College. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Leela, he accepted. And he was, during 7 days, he was listening to what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to say. And only when Sarvabhauma asked him, you remain silent, you are silent for 7 days, you are listening to what I'm saying, are you understanding my explanations of Vedanta? Do you agree? Your silence intrigues me. Can you imagine, you have a student and in 7 days does not say anything? Some students are shy, that's possible. But especially a sannyasi student, and he's not saying anything. naturally you feel like asking, what do you think? Are you following? Are you with me? So, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, then he started, when he was given the voice, he was given permission to speak, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. And then he spoke the truth and he defeated, he corrected Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's misconceptions on Vedanta. So, if this is true, even for preaching to Mayavadis, what to speak in dealing with devotees? How much more careful should we be in dealing with devotees? Devotees are to be served. Devotees are Krishna's heart. Krishna tells Durvasa Muni in the form of Lord Vishnu, after Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj and the chakra was chasing him all over the universe, the chakra got released. It's like the Lord, again, he couldn't help it. The chakra went whoosh. He was sitting and he went after Durvasa all over the universe. The fire of the Lord in the form of the chakra was chasing the great yogi. Even if he was a great yogi, he couldn't do anything. He was helpless. And then when he came to the Lord said, sorry, I cannot do anything. Unless you get the mercy of Ambarish Maharaj, of my dear devotee, I cannot do anything. Because the devotees are my heart. I am always in the heart of my devotees, and the devotees are always in my heart. So the conclusion is that we should be very careful to avoid pride due to any of these things. If Krishna gives us education, wealth, a good family, or success in life, we should feel grateful. This is Krishna's gift. And we should use such things to serve him. And especially we should use it to serve his devotees. Then he will be very happy. So we should avoid pride, and especially we should avoid offending devotees. If we catch ourselves offending a devotee, or someone tells us, you are transgressing, you are offending devotees, we should actually feel very scared. And this was Maharaj Raghuna conclusion after offending Jada Bharata. He said, I do not fear anything in this world. I do not fear Lord Shiva's trident. I do not fear Indra's thunderbolt. I do not fear anything in this world, any danger. I do not fear the tsunamis. He says, I do not fear anything. I only fear offending Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. This is my fear. So if we catch ourselves offending, we should be very careful. It's like fever. When we have fever, we should take care. Isn't it? We have fever, we get dizzy, we sometimes fever, dizzy, cold and heat all the time, then we should take care. We should take extra rest, we should take medicine, we should get help from an expert physician if necessary. So this is like the fever. When we start acting in an offensive way to devotees, it is fever. We should be very careful. One reason, perhaps the main reason, I don't exactly know, it's difficult to understand the Lord, but I can say according to Shastra and according to experience visiting different places, that one reason why Radha Desh is a successful community is because generally devotees are respectful with each other. This keeps, and there is a spirit of serving one another, we can say at least to a certain extent, that's there, that's happening. In communities where devotees are not respectful to each other and offend each other and talk very lightly about one another, like in a derogatory way or undermining other devotees, this diminish the spiritual potency. The Lord does not accept such worship. And therefore, in one way, we can say the Lord is not present there. Even if he is present in the form of the deity, he hides himself. Like when we chant with Nama Parada, offensive chanting, the holy name is not really there. Only the external form is there. Therefore, the conclusion is that we should be very careful to serve devotees. We should serve devotees, and we should be very careful to avoid offending devotees. Any comments or questions on the verse or the discussion? That's a very good point, because here Srila Prabhupada is discussing the principle of akinchana. Devotees are akinchana, they have no material possessions. So Ambarish Maharaj, actually, he was akinchana, because even though he had so many material possessions from the external point of view, he never thought those possessions were his. Therefore, he was akinchana. So akinchana is not about having more or less in terms of material wealth, which of course it can be explained in this way. Sometimes it is explained in this way also. But it is also about the mentality. Someone may not have much, but be very greedy. Sometimes I have seen in places people fighting over peanuts. Sometimes you go to a temple is poor, the temple is falling apart, and still people are fighting over peanuts. You say, come on, what's this? But that's the situation. Why? Because we may not have much, but if we are greedy, envious, or proud, that's the problem. That's what makes that our mentality is not akinchana. Akinchana means to understand that everything belongs to Krishna. Whether I have a lot or I have a little, that doesn't matter that much, as everything that is given to me, whether a lot or a little, is Krishna's. And I should use it in his service to please him. Other questions, comments?
Thank you.
I don't need to offend to help the devotee understand that I feel hurt. I don't need to offend him or her. I can go and tell, I feel hurt when you do this, when you did this to me. I felt hurt. I just want you to know. That's it. I don't have to. In order, two wrongs doesn't make one right. Because actually, the fact that I am hurt is, it's my problem. It's like, for example, sometimes people here in Belgium, I don't think it happens too often, maybe in Bruges during July or August, but in the beach, when sometimes people go to the beach, they go to Spain or Portugal or Italy or whatever, Slovenia, and then they get burned, the back part of the body gets burned from sunshine, isn't it? And then someone comes and touches the person. I don't know if you experience that sometimes, but the person comes and touches, and maybe comes joking, like, hey, how is it going? So one feels hurt. Ah! So it's actually my problem. It's not the other person's problem. So the person is acting as the instrument, Krishna's instrument. Even if the person is conditioned, we don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on for the person. We can imagine and deduct what's going on. We can deduct the person is envious of me, the person is proud, he's greedy, who he thinks he is. And he dares to offend a devotee, me. A pure devotee. So we should be careful to not apply the verses of a scripture in the upside down. Sometimes we apply, we should not offend devotees, therefore you should not offend me. But we don't apply, I should be careful to serve the keep serving devotees and avoid offending devotees. So if a devotee offends me, then, and I feel hurt, it's I who is have something to get purified, because I'm not taking it as, maybe in a previously I did something, I hurt him. I should see, did I hurt him? That he or she is acting in this way towards me? That should be a question we may ask us. And if we don't, we see no way that we offended that person, and that person is in our case all the time. So, and we feel hurt, we can talk, but we don't need to offend to talk. We can talk with respect. Okay, one, two. Good. Yes, actually the term used in Sanskrit is ninda. Sadhu ninda or satam ninda. Ninda means malice. So when I start feeling, looking at another person with malice, that's an offense. That attitude. Of course, if we detect it, we should correct it as devotees, as sadhakas who want to please Krishna. We should work on correcting. And if we are not able to do it by ourselves, we should get help from Guru or Vaishnavas who we trust in order to improve and correcting that. Of course, we don't need to deny our feelings. If we feel offended, we don't have to suppress it. We can express it. but with respect. We should detect, this is my feeling. So why do I feel like that? What, and we have to see that, but we shouldn't retaliate. Because retaliation is going to the level of ignorance, tamoguna, passion and ignorance. If I feel offended, it's because I've... Generally it is, yeah. Yeah, that's a good analysis. That the fact I'm feeling like that, I put someone in that situation in the past, and now I'm getting tit for tat. Like, it's like, not, maybe it was the same person, or that person is representing in the universal, for those of you who do constellations, in the universal constellation is representing that person, and Krishna is using that person to show us some offense we committed. Gopal Hari Prabhu? Yes, that's a very good point and question. The point you made that if devotees are offended, we shouldn't remain silent. We should take action. To remain silent when devotees are being offended, that's also an offense. But then the dilemma is that, okay, but if there are senior people and offenses are taking place, what do we do in such a case? The ideal is to talk to the seniors separately and to express what one is perceiving. Then was in this way one is not transgressing etiquette of offering respect to seniors, while at the same and express it with in a respectful manner, not judging that they are doing wrong, but they, indicating the point that one is perceiving, what one is seeing. That's the ideal, but there could be cases, extreme cases, like in the case of disrobing Queen Draupadi. They had to speak up there. Of course, one could approach someone and ask, can we go aside? And there could be a way of doing it. But not speaking in such a situation, when a Vaishnava is being offended, especially if it's a serious offense, of course there are different degrees of offenses, but if it is a serious offense, and we have to choose between speaking the truth, correcting an offense to a Vaishnava, or etiquette, we should choose for correcting. And we can do it also respectfully. We can also acknowledge our position, say, I'm younger, I have no position to speak here, but I'm seeing this. This is serious. Of course, we should be sure that we are, it's clearly an offense. Sometimes someone may take something as an offense, and it may not be that offense, and one, you know what I mean? Like, we may offend like by not understanding what the seniors are doing or even their relationship. They may, sometimes we get into something that is not our business. So we have to to also be sensitive to the particular situation. But of course, there are cases with which are clear. It's an offense, then we should speak up. We should act. To enjoy. Well, I mean, one of the 10 offenses to the Holy Name is to maintain material attachments despite receiving many instructions. So that will be that offense. Of course, to take someone to perform, to encourage a neophyte devotee to get involved in sinful activities, that will be an offense also, because one is seeing that person not as a devotee, but as a material person, material for my enjoyment, then I engage that person in material activities. So that will be an offense also, seeing the devotee materially. Last two points and we finish. Okay, you mean about in general offense or a Vaishnava offense? Okay. Yes, offense means something which hampers our service to Krishna, which displeases Krishna. That's an offense, we could say. Something that will be a definition. I will not say the definition, but a definition. Offense is not that Krishna, when he like says, oh, you are an offense, you are offensive, you bow down to me. It's not that Krishna needs our service. He is actually, he doesn't take offense. We see like when Bhrigu Muni came and put his foot on Krishna, on Lord Vishnu's chest. Actually, Lord Vishnu was apologizing to Bhrigu Muni because he was a Brahmana. He thought, my chest is too hard. I'm sorry if your foot got hurt. Please don't take offense. And he meant it. He was not joking. He was serious about it. So Krishna, he does not take offense. But it is something that we do that impedes or distances us from Krishna. And there are nama parada, offenses to the holy name, and seva parada, offenses in the worship of the deity. Offenses in the worship of the deity are neutralized by chanting properly the holy name. Offenses to the holy name are more difficult, can be corrected only when we rectify them. And among the offenses of the holy name, Vaishnava parada is, we can say, is the most serious or among the most serious, because devotees are so dear to Krishna. So if a devotee takes offense, that's something to consider. But even more than that, our mentality, having malice towards others, that's even more important to correct. The last point. Oh, you had also, okay. Very good, thank you. Thank you. Very good point. I don't want to offend our temple vice president, and I don't want to offend Lalita Manjari Dasi. She's all the time with the candle. What do we do? Yes? Okay. So, yes, this even enhances the point of this verse, that generally speaking, Krishna is known as Bhava Grahi Janardana. He accepts the bhava, or the devotional feeling of a person, even if the offering is incomplete, Krishna will take it. He's so kind. Even when Vidura's wife offered the peels of the banana, he took the bhava, her feeling. But despite the fact that Krishna is like that, if we offend devotees, it says Narada Muni in this verse, then Krishna will not take it. So actually it enhances the point that we should be very careful to in dealing with devotees in order to please Krishna. Because ultimately we want to please Krishna. We want that Krishna accepts our offerings. If we do that, then Krishna will take anything we offer. If we are careful in serving devotees, even if we have our impurities and our conditionings, Krishna will take it. And Krishna will elevate us in ways beyond our imagination. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.